Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Mettendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments, 395-1450. I'm Tom Mettendorf, and I'm here with Jeff Powie, hunter extraordinaire, and we're talking about the upcoming bow season. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I have to chuckle because of the look on Jeff's face when I said he was hunter extraordinaire. How are you this morning, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Tom.
Excellent.
What a beautiful time of the year to get ready for the outdoors. The fishing's coming on, the bow hunting ready.
The fall fishing's awesome. You know, it's hard. It's hard to know what to do. When hunting, you know, the hunting seasons are opening, the fall fishing starts kicking in. And it's just like, what do we do next?
I know. There's too many things going on. That's a wonderful time to be in Michigan's outdoors. That's for sure.
This is true. Well, Jeff, you and I, we met over at Evergreen Ministry.
Yep.
When we were hosting the Hunter Safety Course.
Correct.
Which we do two a year. We do one in the spring, one in the fall, or summer. It's almost fall. It's just getting ready for fall. We did it in August this year.
Yep.
And you became a hunter safety instructor.
I did. It's a little way to give back to the youth of our community.
Well, here's the interesting part. His wife was first.
Yeah. She's the hunter extraordinaire.
She became the hunter safety instructor and everything else first, mm-hmm. and then I think she even signed for you.
Yes.
After she going through the class.
Pulled me in, yep.
We had a lot of fun. You got to do some skits with your wife for demonstrating for the kids.
I did.
But we'll call them skits because I don't know what else to call them. You know, a little role-playing and so on.
Yes. Sitting in a canoe on a cement floor is not easy. Not as easy as it looks.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, are you a bow hunter, Jeff?
I am. Very much so.
How many years have you been bow hunting?
I've been bow hunting since 1997.
Excuse me. Got a little
little frog in the throat.
There. Yeah, something coming on, I think. And not good, so I'm going to have to go home and make sure I take care of myself.
Some hot tea.
Yeah. I like hot tea with honey. Anyhow, 1997, you started bow hunting.
Yep.
Well, that wasn't at age 12.
No, that wasn't at age 12. Actually, my father-in-law had passed away the year before, and I had just started getting into it, and just really took it on, and wouldn't say I'm a hunting extraordinaire, but I've enjoyed it every year since.
Well, what is it about bow hunting that makes you really enjoy it?
Well, bow hunting is that up-close, you know, personal with the woods kind of a thing. You get to see a lot more deer. You get to see a lot of deer closer.
And yeah, they're not all running past because a pumpkin popped up somewhere.
Yes.
They're just meandering while you're sitting in a tree stand. You hunt from a tree stand.
Correct.
You use a climber or?
No, I do not use it. I like the ladder stands the most. Okay. Actually, I like the kind of ladder stands that just lean against the tree, the ladder with the seat all in one.
Oh, all built together. You just kind of tip it up there and away you go.
I like those because they're easy to move and, you know, just easy to use in general. So,
any things that you think about when you think about putting those stands up that would be good points for people for safety?
Don't do it alone would probably be the first thing.
Are the ladder stands tough to do alone?
They can be. You know, you can get the ladder up against the tree quite easy by yourself, but hauling one of those heavy metal ones up in a tree and getting it chained, especially the ones with chains and such, they can be a little difficult.
Okay.
When you're just kind of holding on with one hand and trying to strap it on with the other, it can get a little tricky. So,
I imagine. But the ladder stands, if you put one up, then you have to climb it to strap it, don't you?
You do. Now, they do have, modern day, they've come out with a lot of new things, pulley systems that you can get up there, and basically you can be, you know, from 3 feet to 30 feet or whatever, you can be caught by your full suspension harness.
Uh-huh.
And those are really good. Okay. I personally don't have one, but I know they have them out now. And
you have a harness, but you don't
I have a harness, but
don't
I don't have
the,
one of those pulley systems.
You don't have the latest and greatest.
Right, right. And you should always wear that. You know, it only takes one slip.
This is true. This is true. We've had guests on that have fallen from tree stands and so on, and such as Jeff Allenboss. He preaches tree stand safety all the time. He was unfortunate and fell and had broken his back and is now in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. Loves to hunt. Still goes out and does all kinds of stuff. Just that now he can't use his legs because of the tree stand situation. So he's all about the safety and wearing your harness and making sure that things are straightened out. So you get your tree stands all set up. Have you ever hunted from the ground, Bohan?
You know, I've tried it, doing a little stalking, but to no avail. That's a real tough way to hunt. Real tough.
And we should be younger to do that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well... I challenge any young hunter even to go and try that, but it can be done. You know, I've heard and read about it, but getting that close and to a deer standing or walking through the woods, very tough to do, very tough.
It's I call it a rush. That's the way I used to hunt, Bo, is when I was younger. It's,
did you?
That's what I did. I never had a tree stand. I didn't do the tree stand thing, and I can't sit. If I can't move, I don't like hunting.
Okay.
So
did you get it? Were you successful?
I never took one. I was within range, but always too much brush. The brush was actually a benefit to actually get in tight.
Sure.
But I never had a good shooting lane. You know, when you set up your tree stands, you always set up shooting lanes.
Yep.
So you can't have anything in your way. If your arrow hits a branch or something, it's going off a different direction. I didn't need to shoot one. It was just excitement to be able to stalk in or track down a deer and get close to him.
Yeah.
That's the part that was exciting.
There's been many a times I've been going out to my tree stand and snuck up on some, but not realizing that they were right around the tree or right around the bush.
Walked right up on
them. Yeah, walked up on them, and you look at them, and they look at you, and that's all it takes.
And
they're
both,
gone.
And you both get the deer in the headlight looks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that happens. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Upcoming classes are scheduled. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here with Jeff Powie. I called him Hunter Extraordinaire, and he said, nope, that's his wife. And I'm sure she's listening to us this morning.
I'd like to hope so.
It's because this is your first time on radio, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very much enjoy it. I think I found a new niche.
There you go. We dug right into the bow hunting that's coming up, but I forgot to mention, you know, last weekend was the Waterfowl Youth, and some friends of ours were out hunting, and they actually called in. And we talked to them. After we got done with them, they had one flock that was coming in, was dropping down, and there was a boo-boo. Somebody sat up out of their layout blind, and they decided not to come down. That happens. That happens.
That happens.
You got kids, and they're trying to. They're excited. They want to learn something, and they get out there. That happens.
Jump the gun, so to speak, a little bit.
Jump the gun, so to speak. There you go with the puns already.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was kind of cool to hear the story last night. I was at the benefit for Rod Hurtis, and we got out there and did some shooting, trap, and they had a cannon there that they were letting kids shoot off a cannon. Of course, there's no projectile, no cannonball.
Right.
But it's like going to Mackinac Island when they fire off the cannon.
Sure,
It was so cool.
Wow,
and,
exciting.
But today is the youth deer season. And
also, the early antlerless is today and tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's been changed around. The disabled vets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is all this weekend. I don't know. It's called the Freedom Weekend or something. I'm not
sure. Okay. Okay.
But it's all this weekend. Anyway, a friend of mine is out sitting in the stand with his son, and he's texting me.
And all right.
He sends me a text. He was doing something with his phone, and I don't know if it came through a text, email, what it did, but it was his coordinates where he was sitting. He goes, "I'm just playing with the phone. I'm worse than the kids." They're waiting for it to get light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
Then you got to get the deer there, and he's listening on his radio with a little earplug in.
Oh, okay.
We get to a certain age and we become addicted to talk radio, so we're always listening to talk radio. And anyhow, with all the different seasons coming up, you know, and things going mm-hmm. on, it wasn't too many days ago. September 15th was last Sunday. That
Correct.
Opened up all the small game seasons.
Sure, I went squirrel hunting once already.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
And you eat squirrel, right?
Oh, yes. Ball them up. They're good.
Oh, see, I make squirrel pot pie.
Oh.
Love squirrel pot pie.
That sounds good.
That's one of my favorites.
That sounds good.
Of course, I'm a big Dutch boy, so pot pie is good. You get all your food groups that way.
Yes, like the whole casserole right there.
Exactly, but you know, you got the squirrel hunting, the grouse hunting, the rabbit hunting. It all opened up. Now, rabbit, do you go rabbit early like this at all?
I wait for it to get a little colder.
We usually wait for some snow to knock down the weeds because they hide in the weeds, and we just haven't had a lot of that lately.
Mm-mm.
Knocking down all the weeds in the places that we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to wait till they get a little frost, you know, gets a little colder, cuts down on the bugs.
Yeah, because the rabbits tend to carry fleas.
Lots of them.
And them jumping fleas I don't like.
No.
I'd rather skin them in the cold than to skin them in a warm building.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like them.
Don't want them fleas. Yeah. Yep. But they're tasty. Ooh.
Oh, rabbits are awesome.
Fleas?
Yep.
Fleas are tasty? Well, you got to get a lot of them, but it is.
There you go. Chrissy Arnold, the producer, paying attention to us.
I get one good joke an hour. Let me have it. That's it.
What I was going to ask about the rabbits, though, have you ever bow hunted for rabbits?
I have not. I have seen this.
Michigan Bow Hunters has an annual rabbit hunt. One of the groups of Michigan Bow Hunters.
Okay.
And Mark Brewer, I know he's done it before. He's gone out rabbit mm-hmm. hunting for bow. Which, to me, just seems like that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be challenging.
A lot of fun. Well, if you do, it's more challenging if you're accustomed to getting your sights right in alignment, using sights on a compound and so on, and having that all lined up and then making the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little easier for a longbow or recurve shooter.
Yes.
I'm thinking an instinctive shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I don't know.
I would have to agree. I understand they also put... like the end of a .38 bullet on the end of their shaft, as opposed to
a blunt tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a blunt tip, and it's a different type of tip, so that it doesn't just go through the rabbit and the rabbit keeps going.
Right.
It's made to
it
stay
knocks
there.
Them down a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, with all these different seasons that are open and so on, and we had Bob Coles on here to talk about. Getting your guns ready, your shotguns ready, and so on.
Sure.
And it's an exciting time, as we said earlier. It's an
yes,
exciting
it
time to be out in the woods in Michigan's outdoors because of all the things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the fall fishing, of course.
Yes.
But we got to get our trout fishing done before the end of September. Unless it's a river that has direct access to Lake Michigan.
Get them salmon.
There you go. You know, talking about the bow season coming up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, starts October 1 and so on. I know the guys have been out at the Chickawa Sportsman's Club. They've been out there doing their broadhead league.
Okay.
Where they go and they use broadheads like they would with their bows when they're hunting, so you get the same flight of your arrows. Sure. And there's targets that they can shoot them into and so on.
Practice, practice, practice.
Well, you know, and I'm wondering that, you know, the different preparations that we have to make for getting ready to go hunt with our bows.
Sure.
I'm sure there's plenty of maintenance we have to do. Would have loved to have Tim here to talk with us about it, but Tim's, again, gone on a bear hunt in Canada. He's guiding bear hunts.
You know, and he's the bow tech.
Yeah. He's doing the work, and he's the tech guy.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. We know that people can head on down to 127 North River and take care of getting their bows taken care of.
There you go. And that is always a good idea. Relatively inexpensive. Get it set up by a professional. You know, everything's hunky-dory. And they can point you in the right direction if there's something, you know, a little miss, or that they can point out to make your shooting a little better. Or,
yeah.
You know. So there's nothing wrong with getting a little professional advice.
No, definitely. So what I was thinking is when we come back from break that we will go over the preparation stuff, last-minute scouting things, things to check on your tree stand, things to look at on your bow just to make sure you're ready to go or if you have to take it in, and your practice sessions.
What do you think? Sounds good.
All righty. Are you thinking about food plots? The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They carry over 40 different seeds for your wildlife food plots, plus many pre-mixed, pre-bagged food plot blends like G2, Northern Edge, and Tecomate, just to mention a few. The Farmers Co-op also has a full line of bagged fertilizers, including Triple 12 and 19, 6-24-24, potash, and urea for your food plot growing needs. Check out the Farmers Co-op for minerals and attractants, too. They've got Lucky Buck, BB2, Appalachians, and carrots and sugar beets in season. They've got you covered for all your fall hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. For all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on the Outdoor Show. Jeff was going to take over for Tim with the whistling.
Very patriotic. Love that.
Most definitely. Anyhow, I'm here with Jeff Powie, and we're talking about the upcoming seasons, everything that's happening, and even the fall fishing. You know, we mentioned that, but we're not getting real good, you know, in depth with that. We're talking more about getting prepped for that upcoming bow season.
You bet.
We've been prepping you for different seasons coming up and so on, and we do wish a lot of luck to all the young hunters that are out there today.
Mm-hmm.
There's other hunters out there too, but those young hunters, we really like to wish them luck.
Yeah.
Or anyone who hasn't really gotten a deer before, mm-hmm. and they want to get a deer this weekend.
And if you haven't ever taken a youngster,
oh, definitely
do it. I mean,
that's exciting.
That's a thrill.
It is.
It really is. You see it. You see hunting from a whole new angle when you go and you teach somebody. That's, you know.
Yeah. And then you carry a camera.
Yeah.
Carry a camera. That's a definite different angle.
When you're
looking through the camera lens. And but if you missed the beginning or you want to catch the show, WHTC.com, the podcasts are there. I believe it's Media Podcast. Scroll down to Outdoor Show and click on whichever one you want to listen to. There's a whole bunch of them there.
All right.
So, you know, people can get it there. They can also listen live right at WHTC.com. And I think there's a button on the right to push. I'm looking for a cue from
Chris. I was spacing out. What are you talking, podcast?
Nope, the listen live button. Is that on the right on the homepage?
Well, let's see. We have our all-new redesigned website. I don't even know where it is, so let's see here.
Oh, sure. You changed it again?
Yeah, we did.
I'm going to get lost.
For the better. For the better.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's on the near the top on the right side. It says Listen Live Now, and you can click right on that.
Awesome.
Very good.
So that's for people if they're out of the area.
Sure.
They can, you know, we had people that had gone to Florida, and they were still listening.
They still had to get that morning yeah,
they
show.
Just, they just like listening to Tim and I banter back and forth, so they're probably getting bored now because Tim hasn't been here. Anyhow, getting ready for that upcoming bow season, mm-hmm. Jeff, what are some of the things that we really want to focus on to make sure we're ready?
Now, getting out in the field and, finding where you want your stands is a huge one. And this is all besides, like I said before, practice. The more you get out and have that bow in your hand, you're just shooting, the more prepared you're going to be, obviously, for the hunt. But getting out in the field and scouting and finding those shooting lanes that you're talking about, where you're going to set it up, clip the brushes, make your trail to get in and out quietly. Things like that can really add up.
You know, I've never heard anybody mention that. Well, I probably have. I just don't recall anybody mentioning that before. Your trail getting in and out. Everybody talks about get your tree stands set, get things going. Now, we only have 10 days left.
Right.
So we don't really want to disturb too much.
Yeah, if you haven't done this stuff already, it's time. This would be a beautiful day to get out there and do it.
It would be. The wind will cover some of your mishaps,
sure,
your boo-boos, things that you're doing that are disturbing things. But I don't recall having anybody say before, make sure you have a good path for getting in and out, clip things away from there, and make sure that you can walk in and out quietly. When you say that, I remember when I elk hunted up in Gaylord area. There was... I'll tell you that story another time. But there was a guy when we were scouting. He would come. He was from the east side of the state, and we would see him every weekend because we scouted from the beginning of August all the way until the December hunt every weekend. And he was up there throughout the entire month of October because he was turkey hunting.
Okay.
And he would stay in his camp. He'd just drive around with his car, go to different places, and he would camp. He was a retired accountant, so he had all the time in the world, to have fun and just do stuff. And he would get into the elk fields, what we call them the elk fields. They were just, they're fields that are planted, the elk like them. But the turkeys would also frequent those areas.
Okay.
In the fall, a lot of the vegetation was set up so that there were, the grasshoppers and stuff were in there. So instead of being along the road, the turkeys were in there.
Okay.
Anyhow, he would actually take and clear a trail. He kept in his pack, on his back, he had a little broom, and he would brush the leaves away, so he was walking on just the soft dirt instead of the oak leaves that went crunch, crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch, sure, sure.
Because you get your freezing nights in October, mm-hmm. and so on, and then it's all crunchy, and you can't really sneak in. So he'd brush all that away to make that trail. He had all day. He wasn't working and then doing it. He had all day, so he would prep certain trails so he could get into certain areas without making any noise, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is. And speaking of my wife again, her and her mother would do things like that. Go out with a broom and make their trails to their tree stands or their, we call them the condo, the shack there. And
the condo.
So they'd sweep it out. I mean, primping these trails like you wouldn't believe.
Just so they could be quiet.
Just so they could be perfectly quiet. Which
that's
great.
How you walk up on them.
That's true. That is true. But, you were talking about not wanting to disturb things too much, too. There's one thing about deer, though. They are very curious. You can go through with a bulldozer,
and they'll come over
the next day. The next morning, they'll be standing right there. So you want to be careful with your human, trail or whatever, your carbon trail. But to go in and cut a tree limb here and make it good for you for the season... Uh-huh. Yep. Is not you're not going to scare them away.
No, they're naturally curious animals.
They are.
We've been working, plowing a food plot or working an area with a skid steer to get rid of stumps and stuff like that before, and they come walking right up to see what's going on.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not like we're sneaking around in the woods and makes them nervous. They hear equipment. They hear equipment when the farmers are plowing and everything else.
Right.
Think about how many deer sit there in the corn when the combines are going.
Yep.
They just stay there. I wonder how many have been caught in the combines.
I don't know. Hopefully not many.
But I'm sure there's been a few of them just because they stay standing there.
They stay,
And I think once it's really close, they get nervous. That's why they stay put. They're trying to say, don't find me.
Yeah.
So we're getting prepped. We're practicing and so on. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things with our tree stands? And I keep coming back to the tree stands because I want to make sure people are safe with them. You know, the harnesses, the full body harnesses, the waist belts are not recommended anymore.
No.
Those kind of things.
It's better than none, but not recommended.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
There's so many available. In fact, if you even buy a bow or a crossbow or anything that you purchase, 99% of them have one in the kit.
Oh, they come with it?
They come with them.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you go get a gun, you are always going to get a trigger guard or a lock.
Gotcha.
You know? So gotcha. A lot of times they come right with them. So,
just to make sure people are being safe.
So that you have them. My wife just got a crossbow here a couple of years ago. Not only do you get the full body harness, but you get a little CD or a DVD that you can watch that shows you how to use your new harness.
Oh,
as
really?
Well as your...
how to make your adjustments and stuff so it fits your body
so
correctly.
So it fits and all that because, you know, safety is important. And
well, there's just been too many accidents. Too many accidents. I think about OSHA and construction and so on, mm-hmm. Which I was in construction for many years before I became a teacher. Now I teach kids to get into construction. And the number one or the top two reasons that people get injured or fatalities happen are falls and electrocutions. That's the top two reasons for fatalities. Of course, I teach my kids to be electricians and climb ladders to do their work, so it's high risk. But I relate it to that, and I think about, you know, all the falls that happen in construction. It's the same thing when we talk about tree stands.
That's true.
There are a huge number of falls that have occurred because of, shall we call it, ignorance or not knowing, not being taught that, you know, these things can happen.
Right.
I think about back in the day when there were all tree stands out in the woods that people had built with 2x4s and plywood.
I did it when I was young.
You know, and we outlawed those on state land.
Yes,
because people would build them and nail them into trees and leave them there.
Mm-hmm. And then 3 years later, they'd think they could climb back up in them, and they weren't as good anymore. So,
but yeah, they would rot away.
They'd rot away, and
they'd climb up and fall down.
That's right.
And we chuckle, but these are just things that you got to be careful for, because on private land, you can still do kind of what you want.
Yeah, yep. And as long, you know, if you could build one and you keep it up well on your private land, that actually can be a very safe way to go. But there's so many available now.
I'd like to do the 4x4s and the little shack up in the air and put a little propane heater in there.
That's the way to go,
maybe,
man.
A hot plate.
Yeah.
That'd be the way
That's the way to hunt.
Yeah. But some of the key points of your tree stands, are there straps and stuff that you want to inspect for strength or tears
always,
or anything like that?
Always.
That
might... if it's year after year, they can tear.
Well, I know Jeff had a tree stand, if I remember this right. It was a tree stand, and I might get a little bit wrong, but I know I'm on the right track here. It was a tree stand that was in the tree for too long, and the strap had rotted. The sunshine and the weather, and that strap ripped and let loose, and that's how he ended up falling.
Mm.
So it was a maintenance issue. So I'm just wondering, are there some key things that should be looked at? And we'll get to those key things in just a moment.
You got it.
The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland and ask about the storage options at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Get registered for a class now, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. Hey, guess what we had during the break?
What?
We had a concerned caller.
And what did he...
Well, he said a good thing to do is if you have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're out in the tree stand playing with your smartphone, Keith,
mm-hmm.
Oh, did I just call him out on the radio? Anyhow, if you're out when you're at your tree stand,
yep.
On your smartphone you have geolocate, okay. And you can get the coordinates, the GPS coordinates. Or if you have a GPS, you could get your coordinates off of there. Leave that coordinates with your wife, or if your wife's out hunting, leave it with the husband. Have that location where you're going. So if it gets dark and it's been dark for a while and you don't return, now understand we could be out there gutting a deer or something like
right.
that, getting because we were successful. But if you know it's getting later and somebody hasn't come back home,
mm-hmm.
then the loved one has those coordinates to give to emergency personnel who have GPS to punch in those coordinates to find people. So they could punch in the coordinates and then locate you quickly, or say you call in on a cell phone. Instead of having to triangulate that cell phone, you got the GPS coordinates that can be given to them. You know, cause
if you fall and get hurt, you could...
You might be hanging upside down in your harness.
Yeah.
Or... You know, hanging right side up, whichever it might be, but you can't get a grip on the tree to get back up enough to get out of that situation where you're hanging there.
Sure.
And your legs are starting to fall asleep, and you're going, man, what am I going to do? Well, then you make that phone call.
Yep.
And
keep that phone right in your pocket there you where go. You can reach it, huh?
And then give those coordinates, or the coordinates will be there that mm-hmm. your wife or husband can give those coordinates to emergency personnel to find mm-hmm. you, or... If you know the coordinates, have them on your phone, you can always pull your phone away and look at the screen and say, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm lucky. My wife is also a hunter, so we know each other's spots pretty well. But for those guys that go out by themselves all the time, excellent idea.
Well, and we don't promote the going out by yourselves.
Well, so you shouldn't have somebody know where you're going.
Well, you should always hunt with a partner, so your partner's close by. That's that immediate help for something.
Yeah. But you and I both know there's a lot of people that say, hey, I think I'm going to go bow hunting this afternoon. They throw the bow in the truck and off they go.
I've never done that.
No.
And it's a good thing for people to know where you're at.
Yes.
I know back when I was younger and I just would take off and do stuff without, thinking. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to go do what I wanted to do.
That's right.
I disappeared for quite a while and didn't tell people where I was.
Yeah.
And that's not a smart move. That's something that you should make sure that somebody knows where you're at that can get help to you if need be.
And that comes with age, I think. As you're young, you think, everybody has a mentality, nothing's going to happen to me.
We're invincible.
Exactly. I mean, I'm just going out to play in the woods, right?
Well, yeah.
So,
I know a lot of people think that, but that's true for me. I am invincible, so a lot of young people think it, but I just know it's true.
And how old are you, Chris?
23. Just
yeah,
turned 23.
See what I mean?
23 years old. Yeah. He's got to be invincible. Yeah. I was invincible then.
I was going to bring up the whole common sense thing, but I think, Chris has just put a spotlight on that. So.
Well, keep in mind, common sense is not so common.
That's for sure.
If it's not an experience that you've had before or an experience that you both of us have had, that's not common between us. So it doesn't make common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with seriousness, even though I like to make fun with common sense is not so common. But it means something. And when we talk about that, you were mentioning during the break that we talked about the OSHA accidents and how OSHA helps to prevent these accidents by giving us guidelines.
Right.
Well, these are situations that occur again and again and again and again.
Correct.
When we're in the woods, it doesn't happen that way.
No, every tree's different. Every situation is different.
Are you kidding? When you go in the woods, don't they all look the same?
Well, they look the same. They grow
lost,
the same.
When you're lost, they all look the same.
Most of them are made of wood. And yeah.
Of course, I've never been lost.
Yeah.
I've only been bewildered for a short time.
That's where you also need that GPS. But getting that, those straps changed every year.
Mm-hmm.
If you should take your tree stand down at least once a year, even if you leave it in the same spot, because of that, it will literally grow into the tree. And some of them used to be made of chains, which would last for a long time, but you've seen that the tree will
grow around it.
And you can't let that happen with straps, because by the time that happens, your strap is already faulty.
Because of the weather, the time, the sunlight, it just starts to wear on it, because it's made of fabric.
Yep, correct.
Okay.
And those trees, nothing stops them from growing. They will stretch that thing to their breaking point.
Oh, the tree will grow until the strap snaps.
Correct.
Okay.
Or until it rots away and something heavy like a person climbs onto it, and that's the last, you know.
So what are you saying?
The last straw.
Shouldn't grow on a tree stand?
No, you should just make sure that your the fabric on your strap, if you have that kind of fabric strap, is replaced, you know, every couple of years, or just make sure it's good every year.
So when you're on public land, you have to take the tree stands down. But if you're on private land, you can leave them up.
Yep.
But is it a good practice to remove them? I mean, it seems like it'd be good for the trees.
Yeah.
To not have them growing around the stuff and trying to grow within the tree stand mounting assembly. But taking them down and storing the straps in a dry location, you know, cool, dark place.
Right.
It seems like that would be a good idea. Is that recommended usually?
I would say so. I would recommend it. Now, we do leave ours up for long periods of time, but we will go out and replace the straps. You know, taking them off, replacing the straps and hanging them back up a couple months later is more than fine. I do have a story of one that we left up with the chain.
Okay.
And once you get them, that chain gets so tight, even if it hasn't grown into the tree yet, there ain't no getting that thing down because you can't loosen it. You
really?
Can't loosen it enough to get it unhooked.
You couldn't release
it? Couldn't release it. The seat had rotted out and everything, and, you know, the little straps, the cables are getting all frayed and, you know, that hold the platform. And we ended up taking the ladder and having to leave the darn thing. So, once a year for sure.
Well, it got stuck. It was stuck in the tree, and the tree had grown enough where
it had grown enough to where it got so tight that I couldn't loosen the chain to get the tree stand off.
So you left the seat part, took the ladder of the ladder.
Took the ladder and
such. Gotcha. I thought you were going to say took the ladder and climbed up there to do something. I thought, well, you had
to
climb up there.
No.
So then you got you end up leaving that in the tree, and then you had the.
Yeah, and who wants to do that? I mean, now I could get up there, and I've talked about it, and, you know, getting bolt cutters or something, but if it was an expensive or something I really wanted, I would do that. But, you know, at that point, we decided to just leave that one, which, you know, I don't recommend. I feel bad.
Was it an area you had you could use the wood for firewood? Because you could just
cut the tree down. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And you could use that for firewood.
It is private property.
Well, if it's a good one for firewood and so on, you can do that. Because if it's your property and you're actually thinning and using the wood, I don't know if you burn wood or not. But
we do.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There
you go.
Boy, I learned something new today.
No, you just got a crazy idea from somebody who's just talking. Anyway, thank you, Jeff, for coming in this morning and talking about bow hunting with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Tom.
All the things that are going on out there in the outdoors currently. And hopefully you are successful this season.
Likewise to you.
I like my grouse.
Yeah.
I probably won't even deer hunt. I'll wait for somebody to get one for me.
Really? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll trade you some venison for some grouse any day.
You know how much work that is.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
all right.
Thank you very much for coming in. And
thank you.
We'll be back here next week, right here on WHTC.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bedendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.